Ephesians chapter 4, and this is dealing with the helmet of salvation. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at the 17th verse.
This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles, walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lavishness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give him to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Amen. So we're going to be taking a look at that tonight, as well as, you know, we're still in Ephesians chapter 6. Looking at spiritual warfare. However, we're not staying right there. We are looking at the helmet of salvation and looking at what the word of God says about this helmet that protects our mind. Let us pray. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you. We bless your name to know that you alone are God. You are God all by yourself, and besides you, there is none other. God, we pray that you move by your spirit, even in teaching. God, that we will grab hold unto what you have to say to us. People that are dealing with just life itself, tribulation, persecution, troubles, where the enemy wants to cloud our minds with so much stuff, even past experiences and past hurts. Oh God, where people are shaped. People are shaped by the things that they've been through. But God, you've come to set us free. You've come to liberate us. God, that we don't live from a standpoint of how we feel or our emotions, oh God, but that our lives are regulated by the seat that we sit on that's hid in Christ Jesus. You said we can set our affections on things above and not on things of this earth, for we are dead and our life is hid in Christ with you. So we thank you, oh God. We have the real life. We have this new life. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. So break and crush our hearts. Open up, Lord, our minds up to your spirit. In Jesus' name, crucify my flesh. Amen. And so when we look at this helmet of salvation, the description is the helmet of salvation is another part of the armor of God that Paul discusses in Ephesians chapter 6. In the Roman army, the helmet served as protection for the head. It was a vital piece of armor as an attack to the head that could result in instant death. Amen. And the helmet of salvation was the last piece of equipment that the soldier would put on, but it was vital, it was necessary, it was crucial. And and you look at any, just about anything you do, if you're riding a bike, on a motorcycle, playing football, even playing baseball, I'm telling you, they if you get hit with a ball, playing baseball, they don't care so much if it's any part of the body, but the part that they want to protect, they want to protect the head. Mm-hmm. They want to protect the mind. And so you see how crucial the head is. You can hit any part of your body, but the wrong hit on your head will kill you. Amen. And so that's when we look at the Roman soldier and when we look at the helmet, how important it was to have on this helmet of salvation. Salvation is not limited to a one-time act. But guess what, y'all? What we know about the helmet of salvation, it's ongoing. The helmet of salvation is ongoing. It is a daily protection and deliverance from sin nature and Satan's schemes. You can be saved, right? But not have on the helmet of salvation. You can be saved, but not have on the helmet of salvation. And that's what we got to know when we put on the helmet of salvation. Somebody can say, well, I'm already saved. But it means so much more than that. Amen. And I pray as we deal with this spiritual warfare, we deal with this armor. And I know some people can be listening and listening to the Bible study. And some people can be doing other things, multitasking. But we pray. Seriously, we pray, because when you're sitting in Bible study, you can't really multitask. Mm-hmm. You know, you're paying attention. So we pray that. I'm telling you, it's been a little struggle for me teaching in the setting. It's a little struggle, but God's got it. And we just want to be attentive to what he's saying in this time and now. And so when we look at the helmet of salvation, we must live. First point that I have here is we must live in view of the finished work of Calvary. When we talk about the helmet of salvation, the Bible says, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. And that's in Philippians. I believe that's in Philippians chapter 2. When Paul says that we must work it out with fear and trembling. For it is God that places that desire in us. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasures. So it's God that works that thing in you. And it's funny, this is talk on the backdrop of Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind, what? Be in you. That was also in Christ Jesus. And when he says, let this mind be in you, that's the mindset, the spirit of Christ. The mind of Christ that we ought to have as believers, right? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, right? But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. He humbled himself, became obedient even to the death of the cross. And it's his perfect obedience, his humility, his willingness to obey the Father, his obedience to die to himself. And then Paul goes on to add to that, that's our mission in this salvation with the mind of Christ, that we work out that salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in us, and do all things without murmuring and complaining, and to humble ourselves beneath the mighty hand of God. And it's he is the one that will exalt us in due time. So when we talk about our salvation and working out our salvation and putting on this helmet of salvation, I never forget this. My father sharing what my grandfather shared with Reverend Powell at the time, was sick, going through some things, and he had to go back to the doctors, didn't know what was going on. Doctors wanted to run some tests. And my grandfather reminded him of one thing. And he said, Reverend Powell, it just lifted him up and encouraged him. He said, Powell, you're saved. He told him that you're saved. and we know that we're saved, right? Man, we can face like just knowing that we have a home in glory. Just knowing what Christ has done for us on that cross. And I think about, I put their heir of salvation. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, purchased by God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. But this, listen, this life is so small. We sit in our troubles. We sit in our problems, right? We sit in view of what we're going through. This is what we're talking about. We sit in view of, oh, Lord, listen, this life is so small. The song says, and actually the verse says, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And as 1,000 years is as one day. Y'all, listen, these lives that we live in, this world that we live in, is so temporary. I'm telling you, and I remember, like, today is me and my wife's 20th wedding anniversary. And I'm like, where today? September 15th. But I remember, like, it was like yesterday, even going back to my high school year. And time is moving with swift transition. It's moving so fast. And I'm telling you, I live my life. We have to live our life in view of the finished work of Calvary, right? We have to live our lives in view of the finished work of Calvary, in view of what Christ has done, in view of what we have, what he's bequeathed to us, what God has bequeathed to us through his son. And that's why we can say, in this life you shall have tribulation. But guess what? It don't affect me. I can be of good cheer because I know what we have in Jesus Christ. Amen? And guess what? Yo, just a few more days. We're going to be up, and out of here. Amen? We're going to be up, and we're going to be out of here just a few more days. Y'all, and guess what? When I open my eyes up in glory, right? And just to think about to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? And I'm telling you, like, and I used to hear my grandfather say, I got more people over there than we have over here. And if you think about who's over there, the older you get versus the people back here, amen, the older you get, you got more over in glory. And so we live our lives. Listen, I'm an heir. We're heirs of salvation. We're purchased by God. We're born of the Spirit. Amen. We've been born of the Spirit of God. We've been born again. So it's like knowing it, like when you were a kid and you were getting ready to go on vacation. And you couldn't wait. You couldn't wait. You didn't sleep. Or your mom was taking the Great Adventure or something like that. You couldn't sleep the night before because you know you were going somewhere. Nothing messed with you. Nothing bothered with you. All you had your mind on where you're going. And that's the helmet of salvation. We don't live our lives through what we see. We don't live our lives through what we feel. But we live our lives in view of what Christ accomplished on that cross to know we're special. I walk around, I have an air of humility, but it's an air of salvation. Man, I'm special. I'm special. Y'all know that? You're special. You are loved. Stop dealing with stuff based on how you feel and deal with it in view of Jesus Christ. And that's really, you know, when we talk about the helmet of salvation, that's the starting point. Because we can talk about, well, renewing our minds. And we can talk about being delivered, you know, a mindset. And we can talk about Romans 12, 2 and Ephesians 4, 23. And we're going to get to that stuff. But you better know who you are. You better know who you have. And it's Jesus Christ. I'm telling y'all, look, I am ready. I'm ready to go back. Paul said for me to live, and he could taste it. For me to live is Christ. How many want to go? I'm ready right now to go and be with Jesus For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Now, don't get me wrong, y'all. I got kids and we got, a wife and different things. I want to stay here as long as God will have me to stay here. Amen. Yeah. But guess what? When it's your time, when it's my time, listen, if you miss me from being around here, guess what? Don't worry about me. Amen. We're going to be better off. We're going to have church. And the pleasures, the beauties, the glory of, listen, Jay, you, Revelations blows my mind to hear the description of the city. But most of all, we'll be in the presence of the Most High. That's our salvation. Amen. Let's move on. Because of the power of the cross, our enemy no longer, and people live life like, man, we live life like we want to be here forever. They show the Pittsburgh Steelers fan in the funeral home. They do these funerals now. They can prop you up, dress you up, put your favorite Eagle stuff on or Pittsburgh Steelers. And the one guy had money in his hand, right? He had a wad of money in his hand with shades on. He was dead. These were dead people. There's a special business that can do all this stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, you can't take that stuff with you. But I'm telling you, we can taste it. Amen. And it's the word of God that shows us what we have when we live. The world don't have that. The world don't have that. So salvation because of the cross, the power of the cross, our enemy no longer has any hold on us. And that's Romans 6:10. We're going to flip through these scriptures. Romans 6:10, because we can't talk about blocking the weapons or blocking the enemy until we listen, dealing with the love, being confounded by that love. Listen, we've got to be, I don't care what you're going through, being consumed by that love, being validated by that love. Jesus cares about what you're going through, but you've got to be in love that his love eclipses. I'm telling you, God, listen, y'all, God is working some things out in my life. He's working some things out in my marriage. He's working some things out in my home. He's working some things out in the church. Because guess what? The problems can't be my focus. Listen, we've got to continually, and that's what we're going to deal with tonight. We're going to deal with how do we continue to give these things over to Christ. When attacks come, when problems come, when burdens come, they start in the mind. And we've got to lay aside every weight and every sin. So first, we talk about the power of the cross and how the enemy no longer has a hold on us. Romans 6:10 says, reckon. Romans 6:11. Right? But let's start with 10. For in that Christ died, he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. And then it says, likewise, what he's done, because he's died, right? We died. He was crucified. We were crucified in him. He's raised from the dead. That's the operation of baptism, to know that we're seated in heavenly places. So when it says reckon, that means consider it so. We are dead. We are dead indeed unto sin, but we're alive unto God through Christ Jesus. Right? So that's the power to know that we're dead to this life. Our enemy has no longer, he has no hold on us because we are dead. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. Mm-hmm. But to us who are what? That's the key. Who are saved, it is the power of God. So it's listen, our salvation is more than just a one-time act. Right? But our salvation, not that we got to go and get more saved. Somebody said, some people ain't all the way saved. No, you either saved or you ain't saved. But listen, when we work it out, we work it out. our salvation is worked out. Salvation is ongoing. And you know what it is? That means we're no, listen, all things work together for the good of them who what? Love the Lord. To those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, to them he did what? Predestinate. Guess what? He's the potter. We're the clay. So he's working that thing out. If we're not, listen, if the cross is not in view, if we think it's about us, and I'm so tired of hearing all these messages that we got to live our best life, and people don't know. We heard it the other day. My wife was watching something, and lady was sitting back talking about her businesses and what she want to do, and she's learned to partner. I've learned how to partner with God. What? Because you want God to support. She was saying she wants God to support her vision and her destiny. They use all these words, and I'm like, where is Christ? Where is co-crucifixion? Where is, listen, he conforming us. He's shaping us. Yeah, partner with that. Partner with the cross. Partner with death. How about that? Amen. But I'm telling you, we're talking about surface church. Guess what? The devil will give you all of that stuff. Y'all know that? Pastor Wright was said all the time, he will bless you to what? He will bless you this. He will bless you. The devil knows how to bless you to keep you lukewarm. Like Laodicea. He will give you that stuff. Just to keep you away. Keep you away from dying and death, to keep you in bondage. When we talk about 1 Corinthians, the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us, it is the power. It's the power of God to permeate my life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, for if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. That's why we got 5:17 after Romans 6:10 and 1:18, because you ain't a new creature if you're not going through the cross, if you're not dead to yourself. That's where your newness is. Newness, the new man is living. Any man being Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are made new. Through this helmet of salvation, we can destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Amen. We're going to deal with that just a little bit. Amen. And so the purpose, when we talk about the purpose of the helmet, because there's some stuff that the Lord was dealing with me, everything that we're going to deal with tonight ain't on here. But when we talk about the purpose of the helmet, right? And the one thing that I have here is for renewing our minds. We must renew our minds. Our minds are a battlefield. The outcomes of those battlefields determine the course of our lives. Amen? So listen, right? When we talk about this helmet, and I talk going back to the belt of truth, going back to the breastplate of righteousness, going back to our peace, feet, the shoes, gospel of peace, right? And the breastplate, I mean, the shield of faith. All of these armaments are to arm our new man. This battle, listen, if you don't know nothing else, this battle is internal. It's an internal battle. Amen. It's on the inside. I'm telling you. And the reason why people aren't delivered is because they're trying to fight these external battles. The battle starts with me. And when we talk about the old man and the new man, when we're delivered, we will see things, listen, that's why we're going to go back to in view of the cross. When God delivers us through his word, and we're walking in victory, and we're growing, and when you really, listen, and I'm going to say something, not that attacks won't come, But it's how we deal with them. Mm-hmm. It's how we deal with the thoughts that come. It's how we lay them aside and we pray. Listen, we got to pray these things back to the Lord. And I'm telling you, I've been there where there's some things come in my life. And God was waiting for one thing with this battle, real battles, things that are not fair. Get your mind off of other people, right? Because that's where the enemy wants to hold us. He wants to hold us to think our deliverance is contingent on other people. Well, if they do this, if they do that, if she does that, then I can move on. No, listen, y'all. There's never a battle in your life that's contingent upon another person. There's never an obstacle in your life that you can't overcome that's contingent upon the cancer going away. Hallelujah. There's never anything that can attack me that's contingent or based on, well, if this person does this, then I will win the battle. No, it's always internal. We don't read where the thorn was removed. But Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I what? Boast. Stop making these things external. My job could fold. I could go through this and go through that and go through things. Right? But guess what? The circumstances may not change. But guess who got to change? I've got to change. Amen. Most gladly, therefore, will I boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Amen. And guess what? God will deliver you beyond whatever it is that the thing could still be there, but it pales. It pales. It pales. It pales in comparison. The bottom of the bottom could drop out. You can still say, it is well. It may take you some time to get there, but Lord, it is well. It was good for me that I had been afflicted. So we talk about renewing our minds. Our minds are battlefields. The outcomes of those battles are determined by the course of our lives. Bible says in Romans 12:1 and 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. By what? The renewing of our minds. And guess what? The renewing of our minds is through one way. The Bible says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. But listen, when we talk about all this stuff that we have to contend with, right? All this stuff we see, but we have filters. We're getting there. We have filters in our mind. We have filters in our emotions, right? And what happens is the devil is steady playing this stuff. I seen a video or a picture of all these men, and they're all like, they're supposed to be like in jail or something, right? And they're all have dress, nothing on hardly, and they're all laying on top of each other. Like going through some big kind of orgy. This stuff, we're seeing stuff on TV. And this same one, this same rapper that's homosexual and does not know what he is, he was the same one that started off with a kid's song. A kid's song. Don't know what the song was, but he was riding on a horse. Hey man, can we just keep it real for a minute? Amen. He was riding on a horse and the kids were singing this song. And then all of a sudden he flipped the script, came out gay, and is doing all this seduction, giving the devil a lap dance, all this stuff. The devil's shoes, wanting to put blood in the shoes, 666. And guess what? I'm praying for him. I'm praying for his salvation. Listen, I'm not pointing at him to put him down, but we got to pray. This stuff is demonic. Evil wickedness. Where? Listen, so let's back up to why are we doing this Bible study? Why are we doing it? We're dealing with spiritual warfare. That's what we're dealing with. It's real. We can't see it. The things we can't see are stronger than the things that we can see. We can't sit up and watch mass half the night and go to sleep and the stuff's still playing and spend half our time on Facebook posting provocative things. You on there looking provocative and all this stuff. We can't continue to do it. And then come to church and wonder why when the preacher preaches over 20 minutes, you can't focus because our minds are convoluted with all this stuff. That's what's going on. And when it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. We need the cleansing, the washing of the word. Talks about that in Ephesians chapter 5, how the husbands are to cleanse their wives with the washing of the word. And that's for everybody. Amen. It's the word of God that must cleanse them things out. Cleanse them thoughts out. Amen. Stuff. And so Ephesians 4:23 says this. And we talk about this battle. That's where we're going. This battle between the old man and the new man. That's the battle. And Ephesians 4:23 says, and be renewed. Well, I'm going to back up to verse 22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation, that we put off concerning those things that we keep looking at, that we shouldn't be looking at. If you got to delete some accounts, delete the account. Somebody said I had to stay off. Somebody told me this. They said, Pastor, I had to delete my Facebook account because it was a distraction to me. And they said they stayed off of it for months and months and months because it was just too much, because it was taking their time, because it was robbing them. Amen. And so not just conversation, but anything that's shaping you. We're going to get there. The old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed where? In the spirit of your mind. Amen. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that comes through the word of God. Listen, let's keep on going. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. Don't be deceitful anymore, for you are members of one another. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down, neither give place to the devil. And what we want to talk about here is we have to reject the doubts. The helmet is put on salvation to renew our minds, number one, to reject the doubts that are caused from our circumstances. Amen. Because what we find is our minds are like filters and things happen in our lives. Even being delivered from negative experiences in the past. Things that have happened in the past. They come in through the mind. Or they start, whether something you saw or you went through something. What we say is, what we like to do is, Lord, I just want to block it out. You can grow up in a home. Something happened. Or you were rejected. Or you were neglected. And these things come, and instead of dealing with them, you try to block them out. And what they do is they go to settle in the subconscious. That's what they do. They begin to settle in the subconscious. But they're still there. And I'm telling you, what we got to learn, people on the line, Community Baptist Church, we have to learn how to grow, receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. We have to learn, like the still water challenge, that we have to allow God to pinpoint these things in our life that they may come out. Amen. But when it comes to the helmet of salvation, when things come, and just like the shield of faith, fiery arrows, things that happen, negative thoughts, you've got to take them things to Jesus Christ, and you've got to give them to him. Let's turn to Hebrews. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Because what the devil wants to do, he wants to simmer these things in. When David talks about, I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. When we don't have on the helmet of salvation. So when the helmet of salvation does, when these thoughts come, when fear comes, when attacks come, when temptations come, the helmet of salvation shoots these things down and they're co-crucified with Christ. And so we have to be spiritually conscious that we can say, Lord, I'm giving this thing to you. Man, I got some stuff in my prayer journal that's between me and the Lord that I had to actively give to him. Not enough to let it dissipate a month or 30 days, because guess what? Time goes far enough, you will forget about it, but you've never dealt with it. So I got a point. Don't just forget about it, but you've got to deal with it. Don't just forget about the thought, but take the thought captive, crucify the thought. And you can only crucify by giving it to Jesus Christ. We talk about crazy thoughts. Or it could be a thought because of something happened, a real feeling or a real emotion. Because if we don't deal with them, guess what? Those things come to our subconscious and they take a seat in the soul, but they're still there. Amen. So it comes in through the mind. You have sight, smell, ear gate, taste, mouth, and it's through that enters into your carnal body. That's the body, right? But then in the soul, you see the soul, right? You have the spirit. The Holy Spirit inside the spirit, your spirit. You see imagination. You got conscience. You got memory. You got reason. And then you got affection. Right? And so when these things come, past experiences, things that happen, it could be grief or whatever it is, you can't just say, I'm gonna move on. You can't just move on. We've got to acknowledge it. Listen, David said in Psalms chapter 32, he said, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. He said, I acknowledge my sin before God. I lost sleep. I lost rest until I had to confess and give that thing up. But you see, memory and all these things, reasoning, when we don't deal with stuff, they stay right here and they be baked into the soul. They're baked into the soul. Amen. But they have to be crucified. And it's the spirit, the Holy Spirit, the new man must outgrow the old man. And that's why he says it here in Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore, seeing also you are compassed about with such great a cloud of witnesses. That greater cloud of witnesses, that represents our salvation. It says, let us lay aside every what? Weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Let us run this race with patience. Lay aside. Weight don't mean it's from you. It could be from somebody else. And I'm telling you, I love the three Hebrew boys. The three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were young. But somebody instilled something in them from a child. Listen, 2 Timothy 3:15, from a young child, thou hast known the holy scriptures. He says, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. And this is why, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So when we talk about lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us, that we can run this race with patience, because these things that happen have come into our lives and they're meant to shape us. They're meant to tell our young girls that maybe I am a little boy. I used to like to play with trucks. Tell our young girls, young boys, maybe I am a girl. I used to like to play with Barbie dolls or whatever, and somebody said something and picked on you and you were rejected or whatever, and all these feelings, and the world has a way of shape. Just be who you are. That's what the world said. Just do what you feel. And then you're getting tattoos and all this other stuff because you don't have an identity. But what the word does, the word shapes validation in you. The word shapes a foundation in you. And that's why the three Hebrew boys said, we will not partake of the king's meats. They said, we're not going to do it. We're not going to be indoctrinated with the carnality of Babylon. Because although King Nebuchadnezzar wanted them cultured and educated and trained in his stuff, they said, no, we're not going. And Daniel. And guess what? Those four young men, they had an impact on Babylon. They impacted that country because they stood on. Listen, and I'm telling you, y'all, listen, we Pastor Wright, he's the one that gave us the vision. Know who you are. And it wasn't until I got in my 30s. And even now, we're still learning who we are. And it wasn't just who you are. Know who you are in Christ. And I'm telling y'all to see our young adults come back and speak to the children about the importance of how they, and they shared their personal experiences with the youth. And how even some of them, like, you know, and how this world tries to trip you up. And one of them was talking about Tinder and how, you know, it was an attack trying to throw off course. And, well, maybe I do feel this way. Maybe I am this way. But she said, no, she had to get in the word. And I'm telling you to see where the word of God, if I'm bragging about anybody, I'm bragging about Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. but where the word is priority in community, that we're shaped with the word, not with the world. Amen. And them three Hebrew boys, boy, they said, we ain't going for it. But what the enemy wants to do, he wants to bake this stuff back in the conscience or the subconscious. There's another one here called subconscious. Right there, subconscious. Just subconscious. Store it all in a back room in the basement. Keep all that junk, all that hurt, all those past experiences, all those things where they could have been averted and they could have been avoided, because as they come and hit the helmet of salvation, through the helmet of salvation, you can appropriate the word of God to say, no, this thought isn't supposed to be there. No, this feeling isn't supposed to be there. No, this past pain, this spirit of rejection, this spirit of retaliation, amen? And all this stuff, it's not supposed to be there, because it doesn't fit who I am. God, crucify my flesh, crucify them thoughts, lay aside every, and all you got to do is be honest with God and just give them to him. Take your burdens to the Lord and what? Leave them there. Cast your, and for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down thoughts, attacks, past fear, feelings, past hurts. Your mama left you, whatever. And what those things want to do, they want to build up walls. And then we wonder why people are the way they are. You ever meet some people, and listen, you ever meet some people, it's like, man, who is this person? And then they'll start off one way for a number of years or whatever. And all of a sudden, those things that they've been shaped with start to root up and grow in them. And what the surface church does, the surface church only deals with the fruit, but it never deals with the root. We can't just deal with the fruit, the bad fruit. But you got to deal with the bad root. We've got to get to the root, to the pulling down the strongholds. You've got to lay the axe of the word of God and all the scriptures that's bequeathed to us that said we are blessed with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We've got to appropriate the word of God and bring it to the root. Tell the devil you are not that. This is who I am. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I am the beloved of Jesus Christ. I'm adopted. I've been liberated. I've been loosed. I've been set free. No weapon formed against me is able to prosper. We've got to be able to appropriate this word in the helmet of salvation, that before that thing gets started, boom, the word is rooting it out. The word is digging it out, that it can't lodge there. Amen. Your new man needs the word. Amen. Because y'all see something. Listen, let me go over this. Y'all see that sheet? This is an oldie but goodie. Principality, powers, rulers. Y'all see them little circles? First of all, you have the kingdom of Satan. Listen, let's turn to Revelation chapter 3. And this is why. Listen, when we have stuff built up in us that we've never dealt with, we're giving place to the devil. We've let the sun go down on our wrath. And guess what? It's not as bad today. I feel better. You feel better. And that thing's still there. And so the enemy has his structure. He's got his principalities. Principalities are over geographical locations. There's a hierarchy to Satan's kingdom. And you know what? He wants my house. He wants your house. He wants your family. And then there are powers, right? Those powers are over, say, states. They're governed up. Listen, this is the hierarchy of Satan. And this is why, listen, y'all, it was a struggle for me to get here. All these weeks, we're dealing with this stuff. And it's been a struggle to get right here, to see this, to see Satan exposed. It was a struggle to get here. Y'all know why? Because the devil, the covers have come off because of the word, because of the dangers of surface church. Surface church says, just deal with the cigarettes. But don't deal with the root of how it started. Just deal with the, I don't drink as bad. But don't deal with the root of the spirit of addiction and alcohol. Amen. Powers are over states and cities. Evil wickedness in high places. Then you got rulers. Rulers are more territorial spirits. Right? And each one of these strings with the circle on the bottom, you'll see the circle on the bottom, spirit, you know, those could be a family or a church or wherever, you know, there are demons assigned. And what the demon does, what Satan does, what the enemy does, the enemy sees, okay, he's got a problem with authority or she's got a problem with rebellion. Or this one has a problem with lust. This one has a problem. The book is out. The book is out on you. And the devil says, okay, you know, this happened in the home or this person was touched. And what he does is now he comes in to get a stronghold in an area of your life. And that's why even like, with discrimination and all these things we've been through as a people, you got to give these things to God. Mm-hmm. You can't give them to the NAACP. I'm going to give the discrimination, being falsely accused or being stopped, driving my pot black. We've got to give these things to Christ. Amen. Listen, let's turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 says this. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna, these things I write, the first and the last which was dead and alive, and I know thy works in tribulation, You're going through poverty. You're going through all this stuff. You're saying, I need to escape. I need a release. But just hang in there. Of them which say they are Jews, they are not. But they are of the synagogue of Satan. Amen. Also, let's look at verse 12. He says, to the angel of the church of Pergamos, write these things said, which the Lord hath the sharp sword with two edges. He says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Listen, each one of these cities. So first was the church of Smyrna. This was the church of Pergamos. Then we had the church of Thyatira, was the spirit of Jezebel. And all of these churches, even us, Community Baptist Church, there are territories, there are realms in the areas that we have to contend with. And what the enemy wants, he wants to work through families, generational curses. And that's why you can see a family deal with drug overdoses. Certain things. And it's satanic. So if he says, I know where your church is, and I also know that you guys are contending with the throne of Satan, that means there's some areas that have a greater satanic presence than others. And this is what these churches were battling. He didn't say that about Ephesus, but he said it about Smyrna. He said it about Pergamos, and some of them were standing. But he said, this is where the attack is coming from. The attack is coming from spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what he said, where Satan's seat is. And then he says, I got some things against you. Not only that, but Balaam in verse 14, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. When Balak tried to pay Balaam off, and eventually he kind of won him over, where he said, I just want them to be fleshly people and cut up in the wilderness. That's all Balak was looking to do. So they would lose the favor of God on their lives. And that same spirit of carnality, of persuasion, of idolatry, of one foot in the world. The Nicolaitans were there. They were Christians, but they weren't saved. All these influences were in the church. Amen. But when Michael tells Daniel that, I heard your prayer, but I had to hold up because I was wrestling against something that held these demonic realms, right? And these thrones, they had Michael held up that he couldn't even give the vision. He had to call for help. For Gabriel to come down. So if these principalities and powers, listen, they don't have no victory. They've already been defeated by the blood of Jesus Christ. Their fate has been sealed, but they're still alive and well, and they're still trying to prevent the gospel. They're trying to prevent people from coming to Christ. They were trying to prevent Daniel's prayer from being answered in the spirit realm. They tried to hold up the vision from coming down. So if Michael could say, hey, I had to wait and send for Gabriel to come, or it might have been vice versa, might have been Gabriel sending for Michael to come and deal with the Prince of Persia in Daniel chapter 10 and deal with the Prince of Greece. All these cities had territories and strongholds that governed over the city. Amen. That's why we're going through this series. That's why we're dealing with spiritual warfare. That's why we're dealing with Ephesians 6:10. That's why we must put on the helmet of salvation. Amen. It's real. Man, this battle is real. But the blessing is the devil has been defeated. And I'm walking in perfect peace. I'm walking in perfect victory. Joy, love, and everything that God has bequeathed to me. And we lay hold unto eternal life. And that's 1 Timothy 6:19. Amen. We lay hold. That's our salvation unto eternal life. Amen. Amen. Let us look to the Lord with a word of prayer. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you. We bless your name to know that you are holy. You are high. You are exalted, O God. You are loving, you're kind, you're patient, oh God, willing to love us, to save us, to send your son. But not only that, God, you've given us your word. The word of the Spirit, which is the word, which is the word of God. You've showed us the way to joy, to fulfillment, oh God. And Lord, you've shown us the way that we can reverse generational curses and bring about generational blessings. In my family, there have been generational blessings. Even our church family, oh God, generational blessings. We speak them over community. Even Minister Reverend Williams and his father and his family and the word instilled in all of our family. We see your fruition where your word has not gone void. God, we thank you. And sometimes as teachers, Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, preachers, Lord, sometimes it seems like the enemy makes it like seem like what's the use? The kids aren't getting it, but they are getting it. And it may not come back for 20 more years, 30 more years. But you said your word will not return into your void. So God, help us to stand on your word. Help us to stand on your promises. Help us to hide the word in our hearts. Help us to train up our children. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, who stood, they impacted a nation. Oh God, even Nebuchadnezzar's hearts were changed. And to see the wickedness that's in this world, the wickedness that was in his son, Belshazzar, who took the things offered from the temple and had an orgy. Oh God, he was wicked, that son, that grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, till the handwriting was on the wall. That's the world that we live in, oh God. We thank you because Daniel came in and interpreted the dream. He said, this night, your life is in God's hands. Not in a good way either. God, you're not playing. You're speaking, oh God, loud and clear. We got to get it right. And the only way to get it right is with your word. Oh God, these spirits, this battle, oh God, we don't have to fight this battle. But God, you said, if we stand still and seek your salvation, that you will fight it for us. God, we love you and we bless you for it in Jesus' name. And for sake we pray. Amen. Amen.